Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, I'm saying that without the jazz hands because I'm not allowed to lift my arms too high.
I'm jazzing for you.
It is Tiffany and...
Hey guys, it's Mandy. Welcome to Brown Ambition.
Yes, and
episode 100 and something. I've lost count now.
Something. Oh, I'm trying not to laugh. Oh my gosh. So if you listened to our last episode, you know that I went under the knife. I was a little nervous. I had to get fibroids. Well, I didn't have to, but I elected to get fibroid surgery because Mandy and I are both newlyweds, and I wanted to start working on a family because I'm 38, and I'm like, girl, if not now, when, child? And so, honestly, I was not really all that nervous, but until, like, right before, because it didn't seem real. I've never had surgery. Have you ever had, like, major surgery, Mandy?
Not major. I've been under anesthesia and I've had a procedure done, but not like cutting me open with stitches kind of surgery.
Okay. Ooh, you said you wanted to mention something about audio.
Yeah. So I just wanted to let you guys know, heads up. I've been having audio issues and I take it really seriously, the quality of the audio on the show. So I apologize if things sound a little bit different this week. I'm doing everything I can to make sure that next episode we are back to tip top audio quality.
Okay. So I wasn't really, really, really nervous until kind of you get there and they like make you like put on like the, you're about to be cut up surgery clothes and like the little thing on your head and take this pill. And I'm like, oh my God, it seems so serious. My mom, of course, came because, you know, that's what moms do.
She's a nurse, right?
Yeah, she's a nurse. Although she told me don't tell them because she said sometimes nurses get a little territorial, you know? But, yeah. She, you know, they already guessed because there were certain nurse things that she was asking and saying. They were like, one of the nurses was like, oh, that's so cute. Your mom's a nurse. And I'm like, how'd you know? She was like, girl, nurses can spot each other a mile away. She's like, your mom said like certain words that I was like, there's no way that this woman is not a nurse. And she brought her overnight bag. I was like, oh, so no questions asked. Because I was like, mommy, why is your purse so big? She's like, oh, no, it's my overnight bag. I was like, oh, well, only one person could stay overnight. She looked at Jarrell like, well, I guess you're going home then.
Aww, so
I know. But you know what? I'm not going to lie. As much as I love my husband, I really wanted my mom to be there overnight with me. And so it went really, I remember just like talking briefly and then I fell asleep and I woke up. And the truth is like in the hospital, I mean, I experienced next to no pain. I did spend the night. They took out 16 fibroids. Can you imagine, Mandy?
Wow.
I didn't know I had that many. And various sizes. I actually have a doctor's appointment in a few days, so I get to find out like the sizes and how much they weighed and stuff. And 16, and that's why she wanted the type of surgery I had. There's two types, or I guess there's multiple, but there's the laser kind where they kind of go in, and this is if you have kind of smaller fibroids, and then there's the one where they actually like have to cut you open and like open up your uterus. Sorry, James, whoever's listening, who's a dude, like, yikes. And they actually have to like kind of go in and cut out the fibroids. So I had one that was pretty big. That was the one that was stopping me from, and Superman from getting pregnant. Even though that's weird, because I'm like, it's not like he's getting pregnant. You know, they're like, we're pregnant. I'm like, no, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, it's just a nice thing that you say to make the man feel involved.
I know. So after 3 weeks, you can try. And you know, it was so crazy because the woman next to me who was, excuse me,
I know.
I'm trying to like hold it. I'm like, hold on. Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yes. the coughing and the sneezing is my mortal enemy. So the woman who was in the hospital room next to me, she actually had the same doctor as I did. So it was really great. And I mean, I did my research on my doctor, but it was really nice to hear from someone else who had her how awesome she was. Oh, no, why am I sneezing? Hold on. It's another one. What's the go? Oh, my gosh.
So mean. Your body needs to stop.
And out of nowhere, I was not sneezing. She actually was, the woman next to me was telling me about, remember, I'm sure I mentioned that although Jarell and I will probably try naturally, we're going to go straight into trying with IVF. That's the, when you basically implant the baby, you know?
Right.
Because
right.
We can try after 3 months, they said. But I don't want to, because naturally, even if you're like, you're perfectly healthy, everything's right, it could take, you know, a year. I've had friends who, I remember my mom has 5 kids and it took her the first time to get pregnant. It took like a year and a half. So I just don't want to wait that long. So I want to really be proactive and just go. And Jarell has, Superman has awesome insurance. So we might as well kind of like try simultaneously. And the woman who was next to me said that she'd done the same thing, got married at 36. And together, she and her husband had got pregnant at 38, and she gave me a great place in New Jersey that she was like, that so many people, women have had success with. And so that's who we're going to go with. So I'm super excited. Now, I don't know how much I'll share during the IVF time because, you know, like there's no guy. I mean, I know so many people, it doesn't work out for it. I might be like, it's not working. It is working. I guess I'll see how I feel. I might be like, mind your business, even though I told you guys so much so far. But I might just feel like if it's not working, I'm sure I'm not going to be in the best of moods. So I'll see how I feel during that time as we're kind of going through the cycles. But definitely, obviously, if it works, you'll know because I'll be like, yay, we're pregnant. And if it doesn't, you'll know because I'll be like, mom's the word, mind your business.
I'm just not going to say anything except that at least you have this hurdle out of the way. Like without doing this, you know, so now you can at least look past this hurdle and think about the fun times ahead.
Exactly. So, yep, that's my update. What about you? What have you been doing since you had your week off?
Oh, you know, week off. It doesn't feel that way. Well, remember a couple of weeks ago, I had brought up that the market seemed to be being a little temperamental, and it had like dipped 200 points that day a couple of weeks ago. And I did my little spiel about, you know, how we shouldn't be freaking out, that the market, you know, was always sort of when we've had a bull market, and by bull market, I mean a really strong market, stocks doing well for so long, for like the last 7 years, 7-8 years. We were always sort of bound to go down a little bit. I guess that was the first hint of it. And then last week, everything just the shit kind of hit the fan and the Dow dropped 1,000 points, like 1200 points in one day. And basically all the returns that we enjoyed in the stock market for the last month from the beginning of the year just went poof and we're back to where we started. So of course, like everyone was sort of freaking out and I got a lot of questions, what does this mean? Why is it happening? What should I do? And I just wanted to reiterate what I was saying before, which is one, if you are investing for tomorrow, then yeah, you should be freaked out because you just lost, probably 4% of your portfolio just went like that. Mm. But I think most of us, at least the average person, if you're investing in a 401k, you're investing for decades away. I mean, hopefully decades away. And if you are in a 401k and you are closer to retirement, you shouldn't be so overly leveraged in stocks that you feel something like this really bad. Like if you felt really, like if you looked at your portfolio and it went down significantly and you're close to retirement, you should probably be reallocating your assets. Like you should be less exposed to risk, which means less stock, and taking on more safe investments that, you know, are less, volatile or whatnot. So that's like the first spiel. Which is just like, calm down, don't freak out. This does not mean you should go to your retirement fund and stop putting money in it. In fact, like this is the way I like to think about it because I was a recession graduate baby, graduated 2009, opened my first 401k in 2010. I feel really lucky to have gotten my 401k open during the recession or at least on the other side of it because when stocks are down, like you don't have to contribute as much money to get as much equity. So you are... Yeah. It's kind of, think of it like a clearance sale. You know? So the money you're putting in now, you're going to get more for it. And when the market rebounds, which historically it usually does, your portfolio will grow and you'll rebound and you'll be grateful that you stayed in the market versus running for it. Like, there's studies, you can go back. Fidelity did a big study on this, like, of people who during the recession left the market, how their portfolios did compared to people who rode with it and stuck with it, and people who stuck with it did significantly better. So calm down.
Yeah.
Like, I was hearing things like Betterment and Wealthfront. I think Betterment for sure was like crashing because all the investors were trying, just like robo advisor.
Trying to pull their money out.
Yep. So that's the first thing I said. And then next, I talked to at LendingTree, we have my company was acquired by LendingTree now, and we have this great chief economist who sits in our office in New York. So I got the expert sitting right across from me, and I'm like, so hey, Tendai, shout out to Tendai.
hey, Tendai.
explain to me, tell me a story about why the market is freaking out, because I wanted to understand, because it can be a number of different things. Like, last week we saw there was this announcement that came out, and this is how like the market just is so emotional. Like last week or a week before, JP Morgan, Berkshire Hathaway, you know, owned by Warren Buffett, and Amazon announced that they were going to create a new healthcare company. They didn't even say what it was going to be or what it was going to do. They just said it, and the market went down for healthcare stocks. So like, just the fact that this company made this announcement can turn the market a certain way. Like, you can't plan your life around those news events that have these like little ill adverse effects on the market. But anyway, nothing like that had happened last week on Friday when the market went down. So I asked Tendai what's happening. And he actually told me that, imagine when you're like, if you think about all these analysts who are saying what the value of all these companies are, all those stocks are, they're not like humans anymore. They're these robots, they're these algorithms. Okay. And they have all these different mathematical equations, how they decide how the economy is doing and how inflation is doing and what the value of companies is going to be in the future. And then they adjust their value of different companies based on all those algorithms. So what had happened was last week, the jobs report came out. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics every month puts out a big report that Trump loves to say is all his, you know, to all his credit, saying how many new jobs were created in America. We created like 200,000 new jobs last month, which is exciting. Woohoo. What we also found is that wages were going up. Wages increased by 2.8 or 2.9%. So that's a sign that inflation is happening. And when the algorithms see that inflation is happening, what does inflation mean? Inflation means that the dollar you have today, as inflation goes up, is going to be worth less tomorrow and the day after and a year from now. So these algorithms are saying, oh, shoot, if you bought equity in company ABC today, tomorrow it might go down because inflation's rising. So let me put the value down today. And all the algorithms started doing that at the same time. So that's why we saw this sharp drop in value. Now, the way he explained it is, yes, the algorithms are all going down, but eventually the other algorithms, the battle of the robots, are going to say, oh, hey, we've kind of reached a bottom. Like, things are actually a pretty good price right now. So you guys should start buying these equities. This is a good deal. And then it's going to start driving the value back up. Like,
you know what it reminds me of? Have you ever seen what was the movie with Eddie Murphy and was it Trading Places?
I think that's what it's called. Yeah.
Yes. It's like if you're wanting to understand the market, obviously they don't trade like that anymore. But if you're wanting to understand the market, there's a really great clip. Maybe you can look for it on YouTube, where he really explains like commodities and just how the market works with like supply and demand. And it just really gets you to understand that it's based upon emotions and, you know, people move one way and all of a sudden everybody moves that way or moves in the opposite direction. And so,
And it's robots moving in that direction. That's what's so funny. Like, it's humans created these emotional robots. but even our chief economist was like, stop, you know, this is gonna like it's gonna even out eventually.
Itself.
It's gonna correct itself, and even then, like, you have to develop a tolerance to these types of situations because they're gonna happen. And if you're investing for the long term, like, you have to look at how the market's performed over the last average, I don't know, 30, 40 years, and see that over time there's always a return on, or there has been a nice return on investment, and just keep remembering that, like. I told you guys, and probably everyone, if you've So you had a 401k and you're heavily invested in stocks the last few years. Like last year, I earned 22% on my investments.
That's awesome.
So we dropped 4% in a month. Like that sucks. But I ain't mad. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm glad that we had that great year, but it was never going to last forever. And, you know, it's just fun for me. I mean, it's not fun. It's stressful, but it's also fun to see everyone. It just happens again and again. The market goes down. People freak out. People say, don't panic. And you know, it always sort of
everybody panics. I know. You know, and this is one of the reasons too, why, I mean, obviously I think that you're wanting to invest in not just one vehicle. And so that way, like, I wouldn't have all my investments, for example, like, of course I'm buying property, but I don't want all my investments to just be in property. And I don't want all my investments to just be in stocks or all my investments to just be in the ETFs or whatever, just because I guess because I don't look at it every single, I know some people trade, so they look at their portfolio or they look at their, you know, their investments every single day. And even then, all of my friends, like, you know, Tila Holcomb, Mandy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like Tila is, she trades for a living. And so she was giving up some really great advice about like staying calm and trying to remove your emotions. Tila teaches women how to, trade their 9-to-5 for trading, which I think is really cute. But yeah, so I'm always looking at folks like that. Sandy Smith does a really good job too, with like, even though Sandy speaks mostly about like budgeting and stuff, but she herself is a pretty good investor. So she's always sharing like tips and stuff on her Facebook page. And I'm always like looking. I actually reached out to them. Are you a part of, I want to be a part of a, an investment club, a women's investment club.
That sounds dope.
I know.
I don't have, I'm too anxious as a person. Like, you got to know yourself. My risk tolerance is not so high. Like, it's one thing to be like, have a bunch of like a target date fund, like really heavily invested in equities, but I don't know. I get stressed out. Like I've had $1,000 sitting in my Robinhood account and I'm afraid, I'm going to get it out of there. Cause
I think I do have a Robinhood account. I'm like, I think I do.
Well, here's the thing, like with Robinhood, just real quick, Robinhood, you probably heard of it. It's an investment app. It's a trading app. It's awesome because they don't charge any fees. Like if you trade through E-Trade, so let's say you want to buy, you have, you know, $500 and you want to buy $200 of Google stock, like you'll get, I don't know, a tenth of a share, whatever. Then they'll charge you $10 per trade. So that adds up over time, but Robinhood charges zero fees. But what it doesn't have, like Robinhood's only individual stocks, you can't trade mutual funds. A mutual fund is like a bunch of pieces of companies in one little package. So you're spreading out your investments across many different types of companies, and it's just considered to be a safer way to invest and get a good return. And the fact, when I found that out, I don't know why I didn't understand that before, and now I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. Like, why? Like with $1,000, I could have like, I don't know, a quarter share of Apple and like a quarter share of Chipotle. I don't know. Why would I want just four stocks? That seems silly.
Yeah, don't make me laugh.
All right, sorry.
So it was a very busy finance week. Woo-hoo. I'm excited because I actually for questions, I have a question. Like when we get to that part of the show, somebody slid into the DMs on IG, and it was just a really good question. So maybe we can answer more than one if you have a really good one too.
I need to make a note about Instagram right now. So they kicked me out of my personal account. I have no idea. So I do kind of have an idea. I deleted my app because I was getting up in the morning and I was not going to work out and I was not getting up. Like I was like eating up all my productive time scrolling on Instagram, like in bed in the darkness. And I was like, let me stop this. So I decided to delete my app for a week. And then I went to add it back because I had a cute picture to post, of course. And I was like, I'm going to stop Instagram until I got something cute to share. Anyway, I tried to log back in and it doesn't know who I am. It's like, who dis, new number, like, what does it say?
What?
New number, who dis? And it was like, we can't help you, contact support. It's impossible. Like, it took me forever to figure out how to actually send them an email. And I did, and I haven't heard back, like terrible customer support. So anyway, you may have realized now what I can log into is a Brown Ambition account, which has been sadly neglected for so long. So I just decided I'm just going to put my Instagram energy into sharing stuff on the Brown Ambition Instagram account, which does exist. And you can follow us at Brown Ambition Podcast on the Instagram. And I'm going to be posting some stuff.
Do you think that, have you linked your Instagram to your Facebook? Because I remember one time somebody actually hacked into my Instagram. Oh, and it was really? Like posting all these random, like, I don't know. It was, I think it was a Russian model. At least that's what it read. And she was like posting all these pictures. I was like, wait a minute. So thankfully my Instagram is also linked, because of course she changed my password, so I couldn't get in. But my Instagram is also linked to my Facebook. So I was able to, from my computer, log in that way and then go in and change and lock her out. But I was like, that was crazy.
I don't think it was anything like that. I mean, it is linked to my Facebook, and I've even tried to log in with Facebook, but it won't let me. It is.
Really?
Yeah, don't ever delete your, I mean, and I didn't even delete my account. Like, I just took the app off my phone and it's treating me like I'm a second rate, like,
person now.
I heard that you have to send them a picture of yourself with your Instagram name on a piece of paper and your name written out, like a sad, like, headshot photo. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to stoop that low.
That was like, for Facebook, somebody told on me and said, Budgeny saying her name. I said, these haters out here. And this was maybe like a year. Let me not laugh. It was like maybe like a year or so ago, because my name on Facebook used to be Tiffany the Budgetista Alice. And I did a little research and I found out that the only way they know that's not your name, obviously, is somebody has to report it, because there's like, you know, whatever, billions of people on Facebook. And so I was like, who will report that? Like, that just seems so petty. So anyway, they like wouldn't let me. Like, so I was able to, like, you know, get back in, but they were like, you have to use your real name. So I had to, like, that's why my name. My full name is on Facebook, my full government, even my middle initial, which I'm slightly annoyed because I'm like, really? But whatever. So, yeah, these social media sites, it just, because one thing that did scare me. So if you have a business, this is just a little thing that you should do. So at the time when I was kicked out of my Facebook page, I was the admin of all of my Facebook, like my personal page was the admin of all of my groups and like my pages and all that other kind of stuff, my business stuff on Facebook. And when I got kicked out, I was locked out of those things. And I was like, wait a minute. And I was the only admin. So what I did was I created a secondary page. And so once I got back in, and it took maybe like a month or so, I don't know. Once I got back in, I made sure. So I have two of my pages are admins of all of my groups and stuff. That way I don't lose full control if just in case something happens to my Facebook page. So you want to make sure that if you have a Facebook like business page, Facebook groups, all that stuff, that there's two of you on Facebook that have behind the scenes access just in case something should happen to your primary page.
Good point.
Yeah. It's hard out here because you want to be like, forget Facebook, but then you're like, yikes, I need it.
I just thought I could take a break. It's just insane. I have one other quick short story to share, like a warning. I was going to make it my break, but I have a better boost to share. So just real quick, I realized something about credit freezes. So, you know, the Equifax data breaches, the data breach happened last fall. Mm-hmm. 143 million Americans' personal information was exposed, massive embarrassment for Equifax, like, they were supposed to be investigated by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, you know, of course, until Trump appointed some guy who decided to, you know, walk away from that investigation. Anyway, I digress. But in the wake of this attack and like this data breach, a lot of personal finance experts, including Magnify Money, I will take credit, gave the advice to get a credit freeze. It's good advice on its face value, because when you do a credit freeze with all three credit bureaus, you're stopping anyone from opening credit in your name. And I went and did this, okay, all three accounts. I was like, let me walk the talk that I'm talking on the internet. So I froze my account at TransUnion, Experian, Equifax, and then I started running into trouble, like, with stuff that I didn't understand was related to a credit freeze. Because for me, like, I thought, okay, someone can't obviously get a credit card. Somebody couldn't open a mortgage or, you know, even get a cell phone. Like, that stuff made sense to me. I didn't understand that when, like, some banks, I was trying to open up a CD account with Ally, and they would not let me, and I couldn't figure out why, and I eventually got on live chat with them, and they said it was because I had a credit freeze, and I had to go and undo it, which sounds easy, and it should be, like, and I was able to do it at two out of the three bureaus, but of course, Equifax, I had to mail them a letter, like a paper letter to Atlanta. Yes, and I was like, what are you talking about, mail a letter, and there was no phone, like, there was a phone number. But even the phone number was like, if you want to remove a freeze, you must, you know, here's the address. Bye. Like, so I had to mail them a letter and I couldn't open this account, which was really frustrating to me. And just that experience, I was thinking, well, if someone's like applying, if you're in a mortgage process and it's down to the wire and you have a credit freeze, like it may feel like, oh, you can just get that freeze lifted really easily. Just watch out, because it may not be that easy. So give yourself extra time to mail your letter to Equifax or whoever. And that's all I can share.
And two, you can also, like, because remember, so during that time, well, before then, I, instead of a credit freeze, the reason why I didn't freeze mine is because I signed up for, not a monitoring service. Credit. I signed up, it's not Life Alert.
Lifelock.
I'm like, hell, my phone, I can't get up. That's what
Lifelock
is.
You're not that old.
I know. And so I signed up for LifeLock, which, and there's other ones like that who, you know, LifeLock needs to give us a check. But no, I just really liked it because it did that, in that no one could open up an account under my name. So if you try to open it up, it would send me a text, phone call, and an email saying, hey, Tiffany, are you at Ally Bank trying to open up a bank account? And if I say yes, and sometimes they ask another question, you're trying to open up a bank account. There's a button on my phone that I would click to say yes, or on the phone call say yes, or the email click the yes button. And then it would say I would be permitted to move forward. So it's like instead of a freeze, it's more like a pause where no one can open up anything in my name without answering that question. And all of it is linked to my phone and my email. And so that's a great alternative if you don't want to go through like a hardcore freeze.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the one thing I'll add is that the three bureaus also are starting to offer credit locks, LOCs.
Okay, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, a credit lock, which is just, it's much easier to unlock your account than it is to unfreeze it, but it has the same effect. So for me, I'm like, I took all my freezes off and I'm just going to do a lock instead. And Equifax just rolled out an app, which I heard doesn't work that great, but anyway, give it a try. You should be able to lock and unlock your account right from your phone.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times, because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
It's time to brown boost, brown break, brown boost, brown break. Are you going to break or are you going to boost?
I'm going to boost.
Okay.
I'll go first. Okay. You didn't give me a choice.
I know. That was a pause. Like, and you're up.
So what happened was, this is kind of awkward. So remember way back when, like a few weeks ago, and every week since I think the podcast started, when I've told you that my husband and I have never really agreed on whether we would buy something like a house or keep renting. And I was really pushing hard against buying something because I just felt like stuff in New York City and New Jersey is just really, really expensive unless you want to invest in a property that's a fixer-upper. And even then, like, nothing really seemed worth it in terms of like the effect it would have on our work commute, because right now we have a 24-minute work commute and we would be looking at an hour plus anywhere we went. So anyway, I had like put my foot in the ground and I was like, it's not happening. But then something happened the last few weeks. We started visiting actual neighborhoods and looking at places and seeing what was out there. And we happened to Enrique, my husband, knew a guy from his college who was a realtor who invited us to go see a couple of apartments around upstate New York, like half an hour outside the city. And we didn't like anything on Saturday, just didn't like anything. I was like, oh, exactly. My point was made. This is never going to work. And then we were on like the Zillow app at lunch in upstate New York. And I was looking at, they have a function on your Zillow app where you can say, where are the open houses near me? Mm-hmm. And we found, I just saw this cute little house, and it said open house 1 to 4. And it was like 3 o'clock. We raced over there and we ended up falling. Like, it really sounds corny, but we had this like,
aww, warm... I could hear it in your voice.
We had this really corny, like when I saw my husband's face, when he walked into the backyard and saw this, you know, this cute little backyard. I just can't, the only way to describe this place is cute and little, cause it's just all it is. Cute little backyard. He turned around and I saw his face and I was like, oh shit, it's done. We are getting this house. Like, I was like, there's no turning back now.
Yay!
So we very quickly worked, and we were negotiating with the sellers, who are this really, I mean, I haven't met them, but like, I think us being a young brown couple and them being an older retiring brown couple.
Oh, I love it.
Right? Like, and you can tell who the sellers are. They're not there, but you can tell around the house. There's pictures. There's just accoutrement that I'm like, yeah, these people. I know these people. These are my people. And their agent really liked us. And I just left there feeling like this might work. And we ended up putting in an offer. They countered.
Shut your mouth.
I know. This is like, when I'm talking about, this is Saturday, or no, is this Sunday? Yeah, Saturday we saw this place. Today is Tuesday, and yes, they accepted our offer today.
Ah, congratulations! Oh my gosh, Mantra!
I'm like, I'm sweating. I can't.
No, that is so awesome. Honestly, it sounds corny. It does, but there's something about having your own home when it's the right fit. Now, you know, I'm definitely not one of those. It's renting versus buying, or shaming one way or the other. I mean, there are definitely some financial benefits to both, and probably the scale tips a little more toward obviously buying in the long run, but there are some financial benefits toward renting too. So that's not, you know, because I'm like, I'm renting now, so I hate when people make it like, you're the fool if you rent, you know. But I just, that other piece that people don't talk about when you're buying, that feeling that you feel like, this is my house, you know, like I could see, yeah, like my kids here, or you know, and or my friends coming over. There's just that too, and I'm glad that
or
when you're
dog
in the right,
I'm gonna, yeah, get a
exactly
dog.
Yeah, I know, right? I was thinking that. I was like, you know what though? We don't have much of a yard, so I'm like, we can't get a dog. But I was like, I definitely want, like, when we get a bigger yard, I want, even though I'm like, I'm not even a dog person, but I just feel like you're supposed to get a dog. And I'm like, if I have kids, I have a dog walker.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome! Congratulations! Oh my gosh. That is awesome.
It went really fast. Thank God for the internet. Like, we were rapidly, and we did. I feel a lot of pressure to do this right, because we are getting a mortgage. We have a down payment. We've had a down payment, to be honest, for like 2 years now, but I just didn't want to budge. But like doing the mortgage process, I feel this pressure, like, Mandy, this is your job. You write about the mortgage process as like, yeah, your career. So you must get this right. So we did a lot of applying. First, we got some quotes, which are okay, like a pre-qualification quote, which is just like the lender saying, based on a couple of pieces of information, like, yeah, we're probably going to give you the money. But okay, what you really need if you want a competitive offer is a pre-approval. So a pre-approval letter, that is when you're actually, and in my case, uploading documents to the lender's website, like W-2s, bank statements, retirement fund accounts, checking account statements. I had to write a letter explaining why I had 2 weeks off between jobs when I left one job for the other.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it, you know, just a one sentence, like, I was on vacation, you know. What else did we have to send? Proof of like restricted stock units. So, you know, from companies that I've worked for, just all your financial history, tax returns, whatever, have it all uploaded. And thankfully we're really organized, and we got everything together, and we were able to apply for pre-approval letters at a couple of lenders. And eventually we just decided, I mean, once we got the first pre-approval, that's really all you need to show your seller, hey, we're serious, we're pre-approved. You're not agreeing to work with that lender. They're just telling you, like, they're pulling your credit and they're giving you, like, they're saying you're approved for this much mortgage and here's the rate we might give you, but it's not final. So we just got the one pre-approval, and now that our offer has been accepted, the next step is get the inspection. And then once we have the inspection, I think we'll like it's an older house, and you know, they've lived in there for like 30, 40 years. We're expecting, I'm expecting that maybe something will come up and we might be negotiating the price a little bit. And then ultimately we'll get a couple of more pre-approvals or quotes from lenders and eventually choose our lender based on who gives us the best rate. We have found like variation in the rates that we're getting. So, and one of our lenders actually said, you know, you bring me another rate and I'll try and beat it. So that's what I'm worried about. I just want to make sure we're getting the best interest rate, because interest rates, like, I'm trying to remind myself, like, even though they're rising, because right now we're getting rates about 4.2%, and granted we have 800 credit scores and we're putting down 20%, and it's, you know, we're good candidates, but it's still 4.2, which is, you know, higher than it has been. But, you know, another thing that I asked our Tendai, our chief economist, was, you know, he reminded me that when you look back, you know, 20 years ago, people were getting double digits.
I was going to say that we're so spoiled, but like people were paying like 10% interest rates. And this is make sure, Mandy, I don't know if you've gotten a quote from, I remember I told you that, M&T, like milk and turkey, I don't know, well, like M&T. I know M&T Bank. Because I don't know if the neighborhood is like a brown neighborhood. So brown meaning Latino or black. And obviously you guys are brown. But they have, you don't need anything financial to qualify. You just have to be brown who wants to live in a majority brown neighborhood. So you would just give them the zip code and they'd say, yep, that's a brown neighborhood. And toward closing costs, you can get up to, I think it's 6% of the cost of the house, up the maxing out at about $18,000 or $19,000. So definitely look into M&T Bank as well, because you guys might be, you know, let's just say you're getting the house and let's, because it's easy math, $100,000.
It's not a brown neighborhood.
Okay. Well, then, you know, I was going
to
say,
we will be leaving things equal, to where if we replace this couple, we think we will be like leaving things
equal. Oh, you're like, I know the neighbor's going to be like, oh, daggone it. We thought the Browns were moving out. They don't gave it to another Brown.
It's not so non-diverse, but it's like 40% minority. Yeah, 40% minority. We looked it up.
Well, then that's fine. Then but just for those of you who are listening, if you are looking to live in a brown neighborhood, take advantage of like things like that that might be out there. No, that's so awesome. Wow. I should have went first with my booth. Now
you know how it is. Like anything could happen. I just have a good feeling, and there's, you know, I'm excited. I think I'm not excited for the renovations. I'm like really nervous. Like I might need to hire Superman to come help out.
I know we're nervous too. He told me the other day, he was like, yo, we're going to have a house. We're finally our close date is March 16th. And I said, because we could close right now, but the bank promised to clean out the house. And I told him, I said, let's not push back any further. If the whether the house is clean or not on the 16th, we're closing. And we could just fight them later to pay us back for cleaning it out. But at this point, I just don't want to wait any longer. And we're nervous for renovations too. Even though Superman is, you know, super handy, it's your house. And you feel like, what if I make a mistake? What if what if it's going to be a lot? Just make sure that you get a really, really good inspector. I don't know if you need I've got a really good one. His name is Nick. He's a little more expensive than the average inspector, but his inspection report is like, you could tell he got A pluses in book reports when he was, he uses a drone to look at the roof. I mean, and two, you walk with him through and he shows you everything. And maybe he was like $100 or $150 more, but it was so worth it because, this is his second or third house that he's inspected with us. The first house, we loved it. And it was a year ago. We thought it was amazing. And Nick was showing us all these things. Now I can't believe I didn't notice. And he was like, this house is crumbling on you. And if you get this house, it's going to be a money pit. And we didn't end up getting it. And I'm so glad that we listened to him. And now we have this house. And he's like, this is a good, solid house. You know, and I was like, I always ask him, if you were me, would you get this house? He was like, yeah, I don't see any major, you know, every house has their little quirks, but no major issues. So, yeah, get yourself an amazing inspector.
I'm really excited for the inspection. Yeah, I'll get his name. I quoted someone today, and I called someone today. I looked for someone on Yelp in the area who had fabulous reviews on like 3 different websites, and I called him and he was really nice. I got a really good feeling from him, but I'm open to someone else too. And yeah, he was like, I'll walk you through, and he like talks nonstop, like 15 minutes, just telling me everything that they check and all their certifications and yada yada. And he actually works in the area, and there's like, and the houses, like the house we're getting is typical of the area. So I know that he'll know what to look out for. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cause we have some of our financial friends that I've seen on Facebook who, yikes, she bought a house and she has been struggling with it. And because the inspector was not truthful, and she has very little recourse. So yeah, definitely do your Googles about, you know, just finding good people. Yeah. All right, well, that's good. Well, my brown boost, you know, we're just going to let you boost since that was such a big boost.
Really? That is so generous.
I didn't really have much of a boost, obviously. It was just going to be like a business tool that I think people, it's underused. I was just going to say, you know, I was just going to boost Google Alerts that if you have a business or just even yourself personally, Google Alerts are totally free. You can literally Google how to set up Google Alerts, because every time somebody mentions Tiffany Alice or the Budgetnista, I have an alert that goes off and it sends me an email saying, hey, Tiffany, like today, for example, Black Enterprise wrote like a really quick article called how to use Facebook groups for career success. And they happened to mention me. And so I would have never known that, because Black Enterprise, it wasn't like a quote or anything, but Google Alert sent it to me. And I was like, oh, this is a cute article. And I shared it. And so I was just going to boost that to say, you know, if you don't have a free Google Alert set up on yourself. Now, if your name is Jim Smith, don't bother. Yeah. Because child, you know, like you want to like, you know, if your name is super not unique, don't. But yeah, that was it. I was just going to boost that free tool that I thought was dope. So I was like, oh, I should have went first. But either way, whatever, we're here.
No, questions. Google Alert. Questions.
Questions. Yes. Do you want me to read you the question? Go ahead.
Oh,
what was
yeah.
your question?
Read me your question. But real quick, while you're looking it up, or I'm just saying you're looking it up, I wanted to mention, so you guys might have got an email. If you didn't check your email yesterday morning, go check it. If you signed up for the Brown Ambition newsletter, we sent out a little survey yesterday morning because we want to get to know our listeners better. We want to be able to get companies to support the show. And one of the key ways to do that is to be able to tell them, here's our listeners, here's who they are, and here's why, you know, you should promote your, let us help you promote your products on our show to our audience. So this is a key tool for us to be able to get some sponsorship and get this little money train going, which is long overdue, overdue. So please answer the survey if you have. It takes like 3 minutes. It's like 9 questions, I think. Check your email. I'm also going to post a link on the Facebook group. If you're not signed up for the newsletter, don't worry. I'll just post it on the Facebook group. You can go to Brown Ambition on Facebook and look at the top of the page. I'll pin the survey link there and you can take it. And thank you so much in advance.
All right. So this is for Positive Nancy on Instagram. She hit me up and she said, I just downloaded your podcast. I didn't know you had one. And I said, yes. So that was December. My bad. So anyway, she said, hey guys, for you, me and Mandy, can you do an episode, which is just a question, giving people who get big refunds ideas on what to do or how to use them productively? I'm not going to say how much you have coming up, but Nancy has 4 figures, a 4-figure return coming, and she doesn't want to mess it up. And I said, ooh, good one. Okay. So, Positive Nancy, hope you're listening. So what say you about big refunds? Well, one, let me start with just saying pre-big refund. Let's just say if you're getting a big refund, it's up to you if you want a big refund, but you can also decide that maybe you actually like to have more money in your, more money in your actual check. And so one of the ways you do that is with HR, you can decide how many exemptions that you want to claim. I'm looking at here, Positive Nancy. Do I see kids? I'm seeing if Positive Nancy has children. But it looks like she does have a child, a cute little girl. So you can claim your child halfway through the year and the other half not claiming them. One thing I used to do is my dad, who was an accountant, used to show me like literally 6 months of the year, I would have myself down as, not claiming myself, but as a as an exemption, and then the other half I wouldn't. So that way I could kind of, my returns would always be like under $1,000 because I wanted more money in my biweekly check. So it's really up to you. I mean, ideally, you get more money if you get it in your biweekly check, because if you're getting a big return, that means that the government has overtaxed you and they got all that money from you sitting for free. If you gave the government too much money, that means you gave them a loan that they didn't have to pay any interest on. But meanwhile, if I underpay the government, like the government sent me like an email, not an email, Uncle Sam sent me a letter maybe like, I don't know, a few days ago, saying in 2014, my taxes were off and I owe them $20 or something to that effect. And I was like, are you kidding me? 2014? Petty.
I got a letter too for 2014. Yep.
Yes. And I was like, okay. And then because I owed them $20 from 2014 to 2018 with the interest, so they charged me interest on my $20 and it was like, I don't know, $30, $40, something to that effect. But yeah. You see, the government, I owe the government $20, so they say, and as a, they are charging me interest on the fact that they had not had their $20 for 4 years. But meanwhile, they take all of this money, extra taxes, and at the end of the year, they're like, oops, we took too much from you. Here's your money back without any interest paid. So ideally, Positive Nancy, you know, I would want to adjust what I'm claiming and my dependents and all that kind of stuff on my with HR to make sure that, and sit down with your accountant and ask to lower how much of a return I get. Now, some people like getting a big return because they like to get like, it's like a forced saving. So there's no judgment on that. So what do you think? Like if you get a big return and you're like, I get it. I know I can get more money every month, but I prefer the big return. Like what are some suggestions you have, Mandy, what they can do if they decide to get a big return?
Yeah, actually, Magnify Money, we just analyzed a bunch of IRS data to find out what's like an average return. And we actually found that people who get a return are getting about $3,000 back. Okay. So for me, like if you spread out $3,000 over the course of a year, that's like what, a couple hundred dollars a month or a couple hundred dollars per paycheck, maybe more, that you're basically setting aside, like Tiffany said, and letting Uncle Sam kind of hang on to it for you. I think some people need that. I think some people need that because they're not able to, like when you get a paycheck, you may not be thinking, okay, I don't really need that extra $500. Like I could just save that. And then in March I'll have, or in April, I'll have $3,000. Like you may not be the kind of person who can do that. So for you, it might be nice to have a, like Tiffany said, a forced, savings. For me, I always liked having a little bit of money back. I never got more than like $2,000. So I always felt like, okay, this is fine. You know, I'm not getting too much back. Last year I got too much. I mean, not too much, but I got a little under like $8,000 back.
Woo,
like,
let me hold something.
I was like, where is this? I mean, it was right before my wedding too. So I was like, great. There's a photographer. But you know, it was because, I don't know. I went to my accountant and I was like, okay, so next year let's factor in that we got this big return. Maybe I should be withholding more. And also I got married this year. Okay. I don't know about you, but I knew going into tax season 2018, like tax season 2017, technically, that we might end up owing taxes this year. And sure enough, we got a big old tax bill. Right before we get a house. Woohoo.
Really? Is it because you guys are doing married filing jointly?
We are doing married filing. I don't know why. Like right now, first of all, I got a letter from 2014 saying that I owed New York State $800. And so I'm having my accountant figure that out first because that bill is due February 13th. So that's okay. Like the biggest issue right now to figure out, do I really owe this money or not? One thing that he had me do, which I think everyone should do, if you get a tax bill from 2014, the reason you're getting it is because they only have 3 years to get people for undue unpaid bills. So 2014, like this is 2017 tax year. This is their last chance. That's why we're seeing these bills from 2014 now.
Okay.
So anyway, you can go to the irs.gov and set up an online account, and you can actually see all of your federal tax return records all in one place. I didn't know that. So I signed up, got my records, and I was able to send them to my accountant and he can see whether or not, like see where the issue is. So that's what he's doing right now. He's trying to figure out where the problem, the discrepancy is in what New York State and the federal government said I owed versus what New York State is saying I owe them or whatever. So it's a little bit messy. And then our tax bill, all I can think is, so we were acquired. My company was acquired. It was a good year for me financially. And I think I'm just paying for it. Like, honestly, I think I just had higher than expected earnings this year. And that is why I'm owing more. But hopefully,
I'm really grateful because we're doing my late marriage filing jointly, because I was asking my accountant, Carlos, hey, Carlos. And I said, what's the difference? Should we do married filing separately or married filing jointly? So when I was in his office, he ran the numbers. He was like, you better thank your husband. He said, because one, so if we do marriage, because I work for myself, I don't get money back. I just always have to pay because I work for myself. So I pay after expenses. If we weren't married filing jointly and if we hadn't gotten married, I would have paid an additional like $20,000 to $25,000 in taxes.
Oh, wow.
So yes, his income and deductions and everything else, whatever, like on his side has lowered my tax bill, but he's not gonna, so typically Superman can get anywhere from $2,000 upwards to $8,000, depending if he and Supergirl's mom, they claim their daughter off and on each year. And so if he's not claiming her, then like if we didn't have her, then he gets much less back. So we kind of negotiate. I said, okay, you're not going to get a return. So he's not going to get a return return this year because he's filing with me, but collectively we're saving $25,000. So we've worked it out that of the $25,000 that I'm saving, he'll get $3,000 of it to use how he would normally use, which would be like he'll pay down whatever. I don't think he even has any more credit card debt. But like to do whatever, like, you know, he puts money in his daughter's like bank account, and you know, he might, I don't know, whatever he's gonna use his $3,000 for. So that was like the trade off. It's like you still get your return, but not from the government. It'll come from this pot because we're collectively saving as a result. And I was like, saving $25,000 in taxes is so real to me because it's not like, oh, that's less money coming out of my check. No, I would have to write a check for an additional $25,000, which I'm not going to lie. I looked at my bank account and I was like, where? So,
yeah, you just bought that house.
I know. And I was like, I mean, because I have a bank account called Taxes. And that's another thing too. I feel like maybe I was doing something wrong because I have a bank account called Taxes where I set aside 30% of the net income that I make from my two companies in this tax account. And I feel like I was still short, which I don't know why. So I wanted to talk to my accountant about that because I set aside 30%. So that way when it's time every quarter to write a tax, like sometimes honestly I can, my tax bill might be five figures, but I have a company savings account that says taxes and I look at it and I'm like, oh, it's right there. You know, it's usually around exactly what I need to send out. But this time I was really short at the end of the year. And I'm honestly wondering why. It was a strong fourth quarter. So that might be why, like way stronger than normal, because usually my fourth quarter is really slow. So it might be that's why. But I was like, yikes, babe, like $25,000. Woo. So yeah. Well, Nancy, basically here's the thing. If it was me and I was getting a big return, I like to do things in percentages and I like to pre-plan. So I would look at saving, investing, and spending, right? So, and debt pay down. So those are your four categories. So how much of it, what percentage do you want to save? What percentage saving, meaning for a specific item or whatever, or maybe an emergency account, what percentage do you want to invest? Are you going to invest in your retirement or are you going to invest in wealth investing, debt pay down? What percentage are you going to put towards some sort of like credit card debt or whatever like outstanding debt you have, and set aside some to enjoy? I believe like, you know, so a percentage, you might say 5% of this return I'm getting, I'm going to enjoy. So let's just say she's getting $10,000. What's 5% of $10,000?
10% of $5,000 is
$2,500, right?
Wait,
isn't
what?
It? I'm like, 10% wait, 10,000.
500 or 5% of
no.
10 of a thousand?
Let's see.
What?
I'm gonna do 10,000 times 0.5%. Okay, so let's just say you're getting 10,000. She's not getting 10,000, but let's just say you're getting 10,000 and you say 5%, I'm going to enjoy. That means $500. I'm going to just enjoy guilt-free. And then you might say 20% I put toward debt. So that takes care of. And then you might say 25% I'm going to put toward saving my emergency fund. So that leaves you with 50%. Then 25% I'm going to put toward, what was the other category? I said debt, saving. I'm going to put toward
investing.
And then the other 25%, did I cover all the quarters? And so whatever, I would just put whatever the percentages are, I would figure that out ahead of time and break it up into those four categories: debt, investing, saving, spending. And do it. I like to do it beforehand because sometimes when money gets here, we lose our minds and we can't focus. So beforehand, I like to figure out the percentage, write it down, so I know when it comes, I make my transfers right away. And especially making sure you set a little something aside to enjoy, so it doesn't feel like I got this money, but I don't feel like I got any money.
Yeah, and think about ways you could maybe invest in yourself. I like to, like, you talk about investing.
Ooh, I like that.
For retirement. But if you've been like considering taking a course, or, you know, you want to invest in a new website upgrade, you know, for your small business, or something that will have return on investment for you and your personal growth or your professional growth, consider that too, because I think that's a worthy investment with extra money, that like an extra windfall.
I like that.
And I think so. Yeah, going back to it, if your return is above average, like, so I just told you the average is about 3,000. If you're getting significantly higher than that, probably you should talk to an accountant, adjust your withholdings. If you're getting significantly, if you're owing a bunch every year, that ain't cool either. And again, talk to an accountant. That's what I'll be doing a lot this next month, is talking to my accountant so it doesn't happen next year. But I think that's maybe the best way to do it. Just look at how you are, you know, versus the average, and then adjust either way, depending on whether you're getting a big return or you're owing too much.
I think that's good advice. Seeing positive, Nancy. Hope you got your question answered.
Thanks, Nancy. You guys can send us questions. We're at brownambitionpodcast.com. And go to Ask Us Anything.
Yes. So now it is time for wins. I'm not going to lie. Less than a win, I have more of a shout out for somebody. So before, it was just funny. It's right when we were about to start taping today. A young woman by the name of Jasmine Bowers reached out to me, and she was like, oh my God, she's like such a fan of the Brown Ambition podcast. Jasmine used to actually like intern for me, like literally years and years and years ago before I even know like what I was doing. And she's beautiful. She's smart. And she said, oh, this is so cute. This is what she said. She said, so I've been listening to you and Mandy reruns, not Brown Ambition, but you and Mandy reruns.
Okay.
She said, in the mornings while walking to class, and I've learned so much, it feels good to have Brown Girl Magic in my ear when I'm tired or struggling in the morning. Y'all literally cover it all. Aww. So Jasmine, I just wanted to give you a little hey girl, hey. And just continue to listen. And Jasmine, if you have not left us an official review on where do you want her to leave the review, Mandy?
iTunes.
Official review on iTunes. I highly suggest that you do. And thanks, Jasmine. So that's my win. Just a little high, virtual high five to my former intern.
Oh, that reminds me of your former intern. That's awesome. that reminds me, I got recognized on the train last week. It was highly weird and also awesome. I'm sorry it was so awkward.
Awesome.
Because I don't know about you, but if you try to have a conversation on a train at 8:30 in the morning, it's very difficult. We were on opposite ends of like 30 people. And thank you for catching my attention, because, you know, he tried not to make eye contact on the train. And she was like giving me the eyes like, I know you, hi. And I was thinking, oh, God, I'm so embarrassed. I don't know who she is. Anyway, but she was so nice. She said, I love Brown Ambition. And I said, thank you. You're my first train fan. And then we had to ride in silence for the next 20 minutes because we weren't going to shout over 30 people. And also,
yes,
I couldn't like get to her. So I feel. And then I got off at my stop and I was trying to turn around and wave at her, and she was looking that way. And anyway, it was hilarious, but awesome. And whoever you are,
awesome.
Whoever you are riding the PATH train in Jersey City, thank you so much. And guys, thanks so much for I just checked our reviews. We have over 300. Reviews.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
When did that happen?
That is awesome.
But don't get complacent. Keep leaving reviews. It helps people find the show. Thank you so, so much. Quick win.
Okay.
Because you got to go. Sorry. Were you going to say something?
No, I was going to say, tell a friend to tell a friend. If you love Brown & Vision, tell a friend.
Yeah, I was peeking at our survey results, and actually a really good number of people are finding us through friends, which makes me feel like warm and fuzzy inside. Shockingly, 94% of our listeners are women. Can you believe it?
Well, no. Well, I'm shocked that there's 6% of guys.
Hey, Jamal.
I know.
Okay. So real quick, just to wrap up, my win is I took a bit of a risk. I just talked about investing in yourself. So one of the things I've talked about is I really want to keep writing. I want to write a book. I need to get back into creative writing. Even though my job is writing and editing, I'm writing financial stuff all day, air day. So I actually signed up for a playwriting course for a 10 class course in how to write a play. And it's not like I even want to write. Like, I don't think I'll be a playwright, but it's helping me have accountability. So every Monday for 3 hours, I sit down with basically strangers, and we have to read something. And it's been really, I had my second class this past Monday, and already I've written more than I ever did the past year. So I'm really excited.
That's awesome.
Shout out to trying something different and getting back into my creative, my creative writing juices.
I don't even know who you are anymore. You're a homeowner and writing plays. Who are you, Mandra? Who are you?
I don't know. I'll tell you when we close.
No, that's awesome. Well, as per usual, it's been great taping. I hope you guys enjoyed. I missed you guys when I wasn't here. I look forward to chatting next week.
And thank you for all the good. You saw all the messages people left you on the Facebook page.
Right? I know, that was so sweet. I just was I went in and I was aw. Meanwhile, the first couple of days, Superman was give me your computer. I was nah. I was in the hospital, slacking. Hey guys, so did anybody get the email? He was honestly, Tiffany, I'm a mess. Somebody take the work away. Yes, I did. But I have to say, after I felt really good the first couple of days, but then after a couple of days, I started to feel like how you're supposed to feel after surgery. And I actually took a good week where I literally did next to nothing but watch HGTV and lounge. So it felt nice to woosah. So I'm grateful for my team as well for always holding it down, and for you guys for thinking about me. So many people reached out to me personally behind the scenes, and I'm grateful. Thank you guys.
All right, feel better soon. We want a little baby budget needs to soon.
Twins! Somebody pray. Somebody pray in grandma out there. Pray for twins so I can knock it out. One shot, one kill. All right, y'all.
'Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.